We're in the last week of our series, Tales, and we've been following Jonah. He's the prophet on the run. And Jonah asked God, God asked Jonah to go to Nineveh and to speak out against the wickedness that's in society at that time. And you remember, Nineveh is the capital city of the Assyrian Empire. And it is considered by historians the Assyrians were the most brutal, inhumane empire that has ever existed in the history of the world. And so when God asked Jonah to go, Jonah said no. When God asked Jonah to go east, Jonah went west. In fact, Jonah is on the run through most of our story and ends up boarding a ship heading to Tarshish, which was about 2,500 miles from where God wanted him to be. And Jonah, as he's running, as he's going the opposite direction, he really thinks he's putting distance between himself and God. But God sends a storm, and it must have been a serious storm because the sailors on the boat, they panic. The integrity of the ship is at stake, and so they freak out. They're figuring that somebody's to blame for the storm. They finally take a look, and through a series of events, they figure out it's Jonah. And Jonah finally admits it. He says, "It's my fault. They go ahead, throw me overboard. If you do that, everything will be fine." And sure enough, that's how things would pan out. But I find it interesting because the sailors, they were reluctant to throw him overboard. In fact, they try throwing the cargo overboard, they try rowing to shore, but finally, out of options, they throw him overboard, and Scripture says at that point that the sea was calm, and that God provided a fish, a great fish, to swallow Jonah. 3 days and three nights, he's in this great fish, in the belly of this fish, and he did a lot of praying, which you could imagine if you were in that position, and we examined that prayer last week. But finally, Jonah comes to a point of total obedience. He says, "God, I owe everything to you. God, I'm all yours. You know, use me." Scripture says this, "And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." That's where we left off. Jonah's on the bank of the Mediterranean Sea, and he's covered in vomit. It's a beautiful picture, you know. You know what's interesting to me about that? Because I can kind of picture it. It's a picture of God's grace. Someone that didn't deserve it receives it. Jonah's on the bank. Yes, it's kind of gross, but he's alive. He's alive. And Jonah now understands that God's hand has been on him the entire time, working in his life, adjusting, helping him find his way. He now understands in a way that he didn't understand before that salvation, his very life, is in God's hands. And that realization changed him. Jonah now has this new lease on life, this new perspective, this new purpose in his life. And Scripture says this, it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time." The word of the Lord came a second time to Jonah. It came again to him. The one that didn't deserve it, the one that didn't earn anything, gets a second chance. You know, a lot of people don't give people second chances, do they? The fact is, we get hurt, something goes wrong, doesn't go as we planned, or we get our feelings hurt along the way. And so what do? We just go, "I'm done with them," right? That's how a lot of people are, but not God. No, God is a God of second chances, a second time. God's, in fact, a God of third chances, fourth chances, hundredth chances. Actually, God will give you as many as it takes because God never gives up, never gives up. The word Lord came to Jonah a second time. Have you ever noticed when God's word comes to you, maybe speaks to something in your life? And we do a couple things. Sometimes we kind of deflect it, don't we? Oh, someday I'll do that. Someday. We've been saying it most of our life. Or we brush it off and go, oh, it's not a big deal. You know, I know that's what God's word says, but it's not a big deal. Or maybe we just run. In fact, some of you have ran the opposite direction that God's calling you. And so we just run. Some of you are still running today. But God never gives up. That's what I want you to hear. God never gives up. God's tenacious. God loves you way too much to not keep working at getting your attention. He wants to capture your heart. That's how God is. Some of you, you've never really surrendered your heart to Jesus Christ. And my guess is, even as I'm talking, the word of the Lord's coming to you a second time. I mean, you've been running. I mean, some of you have been running a long time. Some of you have been on that Jonah Mediterranean cruise. And here's what I want to say. Don't wait for the storm. Don't wait for the storm. When God speaks, I have found, yeah, you can ignore. Yes, you can play the someday game. I'll get around to it. You can deflect God, push him off. You can run. You can go the opposite direction and all that stuff. But I guarantee you God will keep showing up. God will keep showing up again and again and again and again because that's how God works. God's grace. You ready for this? Will outdistance you. God's grace is huge. It's kind of like, how many of you, we're going to date ourselves here, how many of you remember what an Etch-a-Sketch is? Oh, wow. All right, how many of you owned an Etch-a-Sketch? All right, it was the early computer, wasn't it? But you'd get drawn with that thing, and you'd make mistakes, and what'd you do when you made a mistake? Shake it up. Shake it up and clean slate, reset, bing. After all the dumb, stupid, incredibly dumb things that you've done for the 100th time. And then we finally come to our senses. We take ownership. We ask for forgiveness. And God picks us up and cleans the slate. Shake not included, you know. But that's how God works. I don't know about you, but I am absolutely clear that I did not deserve that grace. The word of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time and speaks to Jonah. It says, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Says go. In the Hebrew, it really means go now. Get up and do it now. Go immediately. Go suddenly. You know, abruptly. You know, when the word of the Lord comes to you for a second time or a third time, or maybe it's the 300th time, friends, you got to go immediately. You got to go immediately. You know why? Because if you don't, if you sit there long enough, you will begin to, in your mind, talk yourself out of it, won't you? You may talk yourself out of whatever it is that God's calling you to do or stop doing. The fact is, just get up and do it now. In fact, right now, some of you, if you would listen to God's Spirit, you're absolutely clear on what it is God's been calling you to do. You know, maybe it's reach out to someone. Maybe it's to pick up the phone and apologize or catch someone and have coffee and just say, you know what, I'm sorry. You know, maybe it's giving something up. Maybe it's repenting of some sin that nobody else knows about but you do. You know, maybe God's been pressing you to give something away or commit to something. And here's what I want to say. Whatever it is, however big or, you know, teeny it is, do it now. Do it immediately. God tells Jonah, he says, go to the great city of Nineveh. I think that's a really interesting choice of words. Great city. Why does God say great city of Nineveh? Why does he call it great? It's horrible. It was a horrible city. But it was great. It was great in influence. It was great in power. It was great in prominence. City population of 120,000 then. It was a cultural epicenter of the world. This city is completely surrounded with a wall 100 foot thick, had 1,500 guard towers around it. It is a great fortress. It is a great city from that perspective. Jonah, he's been running. He's been disobedient. And Scripture says, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. In the past, Jonah hadn't obeyed. But this day, he would obey. In the past, he didn't obey. Anybody identify with that? I mean, as you look at your journey, has it been a journey of disobedience? We struggled with things. Jonah has been disobedient, but this time Jonah gets it right. Jonah says, yes. Jonah says, God, you tell me what to say, I will say. You tell me where to go, I'll go. Tell me what to give, I'll give. You tell me who to love, I will love them. Whatever it is, God, just tell me, my answer's yes. I'm on board. Jonah obeys. You skip on down in Scripture, and it says in verse 4, it says, on the first day, Jonah started into the city. Started. The Hebrew is halalbo. It means to untie yourself, to loosen yourself so you can go. So you get this picture that Jonah is untying himself from something. You know, last week we talked about the scripture, you maybe you remember when we were talking about clinging to worthless idols, that if you cling to certain stuff long enough, you forfeit grace, or you're in danger of forfeiting grace. This verse is connected to that. Jonah, in order for him to head where God wants him to go, so that he will go to Nineveh, he has to start releasing things. He has to let go of some stuff. He has to untie himself from some stuff so that he can break free. You know, things he was holding on to, things that were holding him back, that were keeping him down, those idols, whatever they were. Jonah had to halalbo. He had to let go so he could do exactly what God wanted him. Some of you need to halalbo in your life. You need to let go of some stuff. You know, stuff that's holding you back, stuff that weighing you down, that's tying you up, that stuff that you white knuckle and it's all you can think about. I don't know what it is, but you do. And you got to start letting go. I mean, maybe it's self-centeredness. You know, we've talked a lot about that. I'm going to do what I want to do because why? Because I want to do it. You know, maybe it's financial security. It's one of the saddest things I'll hear someone say. I know that God wants me to go work and do this, but I just can't do it because it doesn't pay enough, and there we go. You know, maybe it's reputation that we need to let go of. Well, I can't do that. I mean, what would people think? I got this reputation. And at some point, friends, in order for God to keep expanding in your life, for God to keep growing in your life, you have to let go. And this is tough because we are geared to be in control, aren't we? But if you don't let go, if you don't learn to let go at some point, you can't move forward. You just can't move forward. We hold on to all this stuff, and we just can't move forward sometimes. And we wonder why. I mean, what is it that's holding you back? God says go, but you can't go. You can't do what God wants because you won't halalbo. Jonah gets a word from God. God gives him a message. He starts to the city. He lets go of whatever that stuff was for him. He's moving forward. He's heading there. Can you imagine? Think about the trip now. Remember the history of the Assyrians. He's heading to the city. I think it was something like this. Scripture doesn't tell us this, but I think he was going, okay, God's given me this message to deliver. When they hear it, they will kill me. They're brutal. They're violent. In fact, they destroy their opponents and their opposition every time. Jonah's making his way through the city. You know, maybe I'll tweak the message just a bit. You know, maybe we could make this a happy message for the people. You know, maybe I could tell some nice stories, you know, and make everybody feel good. I know I'll give a three-point message with a positive twist. Okay. Three steps to happiness. Point one, don't be mean to people. Point two, all right. Think happy thoughts. Be positive. And I know, point three, don't worry. Be happy. Tell a few jokes. People love it. That'll work. But that's not what Jonah did. I imagine Jonah heading into town. He's heading down the main street. People are coming out to see who's in town. The men are coming out, and they are armed to the hilt with weapons, weapons that have been well used. And I think Jonah was scared to death. But he delivers the message. He proclaimed, 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overturned. Shortest message in history. 8 words in English. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. It's 5 in Hebrew. It was direct. It was offensive. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. Overturned in the Hebrew, it's got this double meaning. It's kind of like the word bar in our country. We talk about you could have a bar of soap. You could have a gold bar. It could be a place you get a drink. You could get a crowbar. There are all kinds of different meanings. Well, this word in the Hebrew for overturned is hapak. In other words, it's the word that God specifically gave to Jonah and says, use this. It means to be overturned and destroyed. Or overturned and changed. 40 days, clock's ticking, folks. In 40 days, God will either destroy or change you. What's it going to be? Your choice. God's mercy is on the line here. The clock's ticking. Tick, 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 tick. The mercy of God is on the line. You see, sometimes I think we forget God's mercy. It's got a limited time offer. The fact is, you don't have forever. The fact is, we're not even promised we got tomorrow. 40 days, you will be destroyed. 40 days, you will be changed. Make a choice. What will it be? What are you going to do? In fact, some of you are on day 39 and don't even know it. Now, I know you're sitting there going, I wish he'd do the 3 points to happiness. But friends, what I want to say is maybe you just need the one step to repentance. You know, maybe it's the one message you need to hear. Clock's ticking, tick, 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 tick. The mercy of God is a limited time offer. You don't have forever. You don't have forever. You know, Jonah delivers the message. He delivers it with boldness and passion. And an amazing thing happens. Verse 5 picks up. It says, the Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. They believed God. I imagine in that day that if someone read that or they heard about it when after it happened, they were like, no way. That's not possible. There is no way that happened. There is no way the Ninevites turned to God. It just couldn't happen. It'd be kind of like me saying Howard Stern. Howard Stern is on Christian radio now, and he talks about sexual purity. And some of you would go, I don't think so. You're kidding me. And in fact, it's even greater than that, because it'd be kind of like Las Vegas changes heart totally. All the casinos and the clubs, they all close. They're all houses of worship now. And if I were to tell you that, you'd go, I don't think so. Where are you getting your information at? You know, I think maybe he's smoking something. I don't know. That's what happened in Nineveh. They believed God. They declared a fast. They repented. They had this desire to hear from God. That's why they put on the sackcloth, so that they could hear from God and be reminded, you know, be reminded of what God was saying to them. They had that deep, deep desire to hear from God. You ever been like that? You know, do whatever you can so that God will speak. And so they put on the sackcloth, and sackcloth was made out of goat's hair, all right? It's like really bad burlap, okay? Miserable to wear, itchy, you know. It was a sign of repentance, because what it did, it was a physical reminder to them when they put on that itchy goatskin clothing that they weren't even worthy to wear good clothing or normal clothing. That's why they put it on. It says, when the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robe, covered himself with sackcloth, the goat's itchy goat skin stuff, and sat down in the dust. It's quite a picture. I mean, chances are in that day, for that king or emperor, no one had ever seen him except in royal clothing, the best. And here he is, he's in sackcloth, and he's not sitting on the throne. No, he's sitting in the dust. And he's saying, I'm unworthy, I'm a sinner, I need forgiveness from God. And I bet that picture embedded itself in the people's minds. Scripture says that then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles. Do not let any man or beast, herd or flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. So the king issues a proclamation. He says, the entire city, everyone, we're going to fast. And not only are we going to fast from food, but we're going to fast from drinking anything. And not only are we going to fast, all the animals in town are going to fast as well. In other words, he was kind of saying all in on this. We are going up and beyond when it comes to fasting. So you've got this whole city. Everybody's fasting. Everybody's doing what the king has issued. And so they're just this waiting on God. You know, farmers will tell you if cattle go without food or water for like a day, you can hear them a half a mile away. Why? Because they're hungry. It's kind of like my grandkids about every hour. Grandpa, we're starving. We're dying. We got to have something to eat. We need a snack. I was like, we just ate 5 minutes ago. But everybody's fasting. It says, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. That's why they're fasting. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. They're seeking God urgently. That's why they're doing all this. They're trying to get to that deepest point in your life where you just have that yearning in you. You know, everything in you. You're humbly repentant before God. And with passion, you give yourself to God. That's what's going on here. People are waiting. They're giving themselves. And it says, let them give up their evil ways. Take me back. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. That's really key, because what the king was saying there was, not only are we going to change in word what we say, but we're going to change in action. You know, let's stop doing the things that we've been doing. Let's give it up. Let's do what God asks us to do. Let's make a change here. Verse 9 says, who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his furious anger so that we will not perish. Who knows? Maybe, perhaps, God will give us a second chance. Ding. God will have mercy on us. Ding. God will have compassion on us. Ding. Everyone's fasting. Everybody's calling on God. Urgently calling on God. This isn't a casual thing. They're seeking God. And friends, when I read this story, when I read this part, I'll be honest with you, my heart kind of hurts. I mean, because I think about the spiritual condition of our nation. I think about the spiritual condition of our churches today. And there's not this urgency. It's not this urgency to seek God, to honor God with what we say and what we do. I mean, some people take it really serious, but a lot of people, pretty casual about God. And friends, I'll be honest with you, I think it's time that, like the people of Nineveh, that we repent from some of that. We repent from some of the self-centeredness, some of the materialistic drive, some of the sin that gets its claws in you, that ungodliness that's just undoing everything. I mean, maybe it'll take a prophetic voice to say 40 days and you'll be overturned. What will it be? Destroyed or changed? Maybe then, we'd urgently seek God. You know, Jesus Christ is either who he said he is, or he's not. There's no middle ground. He either is, or he isn't. Jesus Christ is either Lord of all, or he's Lord of absolutely nothing. No in between, no middle ground, no, well, let's see if I can play it, no middle ground. Jonah, he delivers a message to the Ninevites, people that are really far from God. The Ninevites hear the message, and they say, we're going to turn to God. You know, some of you are really far from God. And I want you to hear this. Sometimes the people that are the furthest away are the closest to taking a faith step of significance. I've seen that throughout my entire ministry. You know, in other words, let your heart break. Let your heart scream. You know, let it urgently seek God. The Ninevites, they decide to let their heart break and they repent. And it says, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction threatened. Wow. What a moment. God gave the people of Nineveh a second chance. God gave Jonah a second chance. And I imagine many of you would stand up today and say, you know what, God's given me a second chance. I wish the book of Jonah had stopped right there. It doesn't. You know, God's word's so real. It says, wish it ended really well, but it kind of tails off. The last chapter, Jonah vents. That's putting it politely. He argues with God about giving the Ninevites a second chance. This is kind of interesting. You know, I challenge you, you ought to take a read this week. But Jonah is this kind of mixture of contradiction. He plays a little game that I see a lot of Christians play. It goes something like this. God, thank you for being patient with me. Thanks for forgiving me. You know, thanks for forgiving me those times I ran away from you, those times I was disobedient. You know, God, thank you for giving me a second chance. I can't believe that you forgive them. Are you kidding me? Hey, forgive the Ninevites? You gave them a second chance? And Jonah throws a temper tantrum in Scripture. God has compassion, and this guy goes on full tilt. And I want to tell you, forgiving is a core concept, an act of God. It's core to who God is and who God wants us to be. You know, forgiveness, core, okay? You got to grasp that. I mean, Jesus is hanging on the cross. He's been abused, he's been beaten, he's been lied about, he's been abandoned by his friends. When Jesus is hanging there and he's dying for something he didn't do, something he didn't deserve, do you remember what he said? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In fact, Jesus would teach about forgiveness over and over and over because I think Jesus knew it was the one thing that we would struggle with the most of just giving forgiveness. He said this part of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, but if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Wow. 120,000 people repent. God says, let's celebrate. And Jonah is angry. Jonah's bitter. He vents his frustration. Conceptually, I believe that God's grace made sense to Jonah. From a personal perspective or application, I think Jonah appreciated grace, don't you? Because God had grace with him. But in Jonah's mind, God's grace should have limits. But God's grace doesn't. God's grace is bigger than Jonah ever imagined. And the entire fourth chapter, he's just arguing with God and arguing about why grace could be that big. And God's point throughout it all, when you read it, is that he is going to love the Ninevites. He's going to reach out to them. That his grace was so great because the people of Nineveh mattered to him. That's God's whole point there. Nineveh matters. God's reminding Jonah over and over again the importance of reaching them with a message from God. And I believe we live in a modern Nineveh. You know, people are messed up. Just take a look. Watch the news. Pick up the paper. You know, people are hurting. People are broken. People are really far from God sometimes. And I believe God's called us. God's called this church to share the gospel, to carry the message that God's given to us. To help people so that they can come to repentance, so that they'll desperately and urgently seek God, where they'll ultimately bow a knee, you know, and find forgiveness. That's what God's called us to bring people to that point. And here's what I want you to imagine for a moment. Could you imagine what would happen if everyone that calls Faith Fellowship home If we all came together and said, God, I am not running anymore. I am going to Nineveh. I don't care what it costs me. I don't care what you ask me to say or do. I don't care what the stakes are. It doesn't matter. I am all in. I will let you use me. Use me, God. Use me to change my family. Use me to change my neighborhood. Use me to change my office or my school or my community or maybe this nation. You know, God, just use me. I'm yours. Can you imagine what would happen if you just prayed that prayer and allowed God to just use you? The word of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time. God gave Jonah a second chance, reset, start again. And Jonah was obedient, and God used him. It's an incredible story. God's given us a second chance. He's given you a second chance. One question. What will you do? What will I do? What will you do? What will we do? Jonah. I've always loved the story of Jonah. And I pray that God would use us like he used Jonah. Let's stand for a word of prayer together. Our holy God, God, I praise you. You are the God of second chances, and third chances, and fourth chances. And God, I pray that we would have that same kind of grace. We'd reach out in a world that's sometimes hostile toward you, sometimes just apathetic. God, not for us to be strange or weird or freaky or anything, but to just have a heart. Know that everyone matters. People in our neighborhoods and our offices and our schools, people that we cross paths with each day, maybe don't even know their name. God, I pray that you would use us. I thank you for the story of Jonah. I thank you that he had the courage. Though it was a long and winding road, that he had the courage finally to let you use him. God, forgive us those long and windy roads that we take. Maybe today, just say, God, use me. God, I thank you for this church. I pray that you would use us in a significant and mighty way. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. God's people said, amen.